Okay, the readings, I think, deserve some kind of small commentary, though I want to focus on the letter to the Galatians passage. David was the king, you know. He followed Saul. No, he's the father of Solomon, followed Saul. And when he was made king, he lived in the royal palace. I don't know how elaborate it was, but like all houses in those days, they had flat roofs. So people could go up on top of the roof and catch the breezes when the day cooled off. And the palace had the highest roof, of course. So David was out meandering around on the roof, and he saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba, taking a bath on a roof that was lower than his. And he became very, very anxious to meet this lady. But she was already married to a guy named Uriah. So what David did was, Uriah was in the army. So he said to the captain, put Uriah in the front lines. And he did, and Uriah was killed. And that's the basis of the dialogue between Nathan the prophet and David. And that was his sin, pretty big one. The gospel depicts a standard procedure in the Middle East. That is, as I said again and again, eating together was, short of sexual intercourse, the most intimate thing that people could do in that world. And when you invited somebody for supper, there's this big ritual. You wash their feet. If you remember the water into wine, those seven big jars, those are for washing people's feet when they came to this wedding feast. And you poured oil on their head, and you kissed them. Simon did none of this stuff. So Jesus contrasts her with this lady who not just poured oil, but ointment in a very expensive little vase of alabaster. She washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. And she was kissing his feet. And that's the basis for the question that Jesus puts to Simon. So it was a really serious sin against hospitality, which I understand is still a major virtue in the Near East. But what I want to talk about more is this passage from Galatians, because it sounds totally kooky. So you have to have some historical background to even begin to make sense of this. So the question when Jesus showed up was, what meaning has the law? And here too, a very important footnote. We Christians, at least when I was growing up, used the notion of the Jews earning their salvation by obedience to the law. That's total rubbish. Total rubbish. No Jew thought that salvation was anything but a gift of God, a grace of God. So, what's going on here is this. The law was part of the covenant with Moses, you know, and the Israelites. You know, the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. And what has happened is that in Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul saw a radically new basis for salvation. We're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not by doing the works of the law. In other words, the meaning of the law has radically changed with the advent of Jesus. So Jesus is the sign of the covenant, not the law, not obedience. And that's why, if you can get hold of that, then you can make sense of the rest of this passage, because it just sounds goofy. At least it always did to me. But that's what's going on. Jesus is the new sign of the covenant. And you get this great insight into Paul. So, and this wild line, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. Now what's that all about? How do you die to the law? One article of the law says Cursed be he or she who's nailed to a cross or hung from a tree. So that put Jesus out of operation as far as the Jews are concerned, these people who saw the law as a covenantal sign. But now Jesus is the covenantal sign. It is, as Paul says here over and over, it is through faith in Jesus that I enter the covenant, that I am justified. And he kind of emphasizes this a couple of verses later in these extraordinary lines. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, he has a radically different basis for his existence, thanks to the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's not just the covenant symbolized by the law, but the covenant renewed and deepened and enriched by the career of Jesus. So he will say, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For justification comes by the law, then Christ died for nothing. In other words, if the covenant and the law within the covenant still is in place, there's this arrangement between God and humanity, then faith in Jesus doesn't mean anything. But again, you have to keep in mind, at least I received this terrible anti-Semitic training as a kid for the good nuns, that the Jews were this niggardly people who thought they could worm their way into heaven by being nice, by being obedient. That's rubbish. All you have to do is read the rest of the Bible to find out no Jew thought they were going to earn their salvation. It was fidelity to the covenant of which the law was a part that's in play here.